want to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobing, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. And now, today's message.
Establishment through holiness. Amen.
Let's take our confession. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
Amen. And so now for today, and then maybe in the discourses that will follow, we want to leave Peter. Let's look at Paul 2 and some of the things he shares. And let's go back to our theme for the month. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Yes, this is it. May he as a result make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before our God, before God our Father, when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. So just look at, make our hearts strong, make our hearts blameless, make our hearts holy. We'll stand before God our Father. Our Lord Jesus will come again with all his holy people. A lot of things to pick from there. Hallelujah. God, that was Paul's prayer for the Thess church. God will make our hearts strong. 2, will make our hearts blameless. 3, will make our hearts holy. As we stand before God as Father, we will stand one day before God our Father. Our Lord Jesus will come again, and he will be coming with holy people. Amen. So let's start from verse 1, and then we'll read, jump to 4, and then up to 8. Verse 8. So let's read from 1, just to get what he's talking about, all the backdrop of what he's doing. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and it's one of the churches that Paul founded. And you know, everywhere he went, he was persecuted. I think the story about that is in Acts chapter 16. You find the story there, how they set up. And then he was coming from Philippi. And then when he got to Thessalonica, that was after the jail, you know, the earthquake and the jail, if you like, the spiritual, supernatural jailbreak. Everything was, you know, their chains were broken, etc. And then Paul and Silas, after they sang and prayed at midnight, and then they had to be expelled. And so they came to Thessalonica. Amen. And that's where we have it. So they set up a church. They didn't stay there for long. I think just about 3 weeks. And then the other people pursued them. And then they had to sack Paul. But once he went, he asked that Timothy and another one, is there, they should just stay behind and organize the church and set up structures, and you know, before they join him. So as for him, because of the troubles, he was the lead speaker, so they asked him to go ahead. And so let's pick it up. And so this letter was written to them to strengthen them after Timothy had rejoined him. Timothy and Silas had rejoined him and given him a very good report of how the infant church in Thessalonica was doing. Amen. So he wrote this letter to go and encourage them and strengthen them. So we come to chapter 3. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith. Verse 3. And to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come. And they did, as you well know. That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day we pray earnestly. So take note of the prayer that Paul is praying, because that's where our theme for the month is anchored. It's a night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. Regular attendance to church will help your pastors and your leaders fill the gaps in our faith. Hallelujah. Like I was saying the other day, it has a very short half-life. So if you don't make it a constant habit of doing your devotional life and also coming to church and having fellowship with believers surrounding you, your associations and your friendships, they are believers, but believers who are still walking and warm and firm in the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. As we are finding out, not all the people who say they are believers are believers. A lot of them are unbelieving believers. And a lot of people too are not born again. So they don't have the foundational tools, if you like. They are not standing on solid ground for the Holy Spirit to work on them. Or even if they have professed it, hallelujah, it is a wish. But wishes are not the thing. They're talking about faith. You don't wish to go to heaven. Amen. You must have faith. It takes faith. And it's not wishes alone. Faith, you must be tough. It goes with responsibilities. Your faith life goes with responsibilities. Isn't wishes were horses? Yes, beggars will ride on. Because you can wish, nothing will happen. You need to take bold steps, and that's faith. You need courage, boldness, and do what you are instructed to do. Hallelujah. To have those wishes come to pass and translate into faith. There are certain things, prescriptions, that you must follow. And the Christian faith is one. So you profess, you pray the sinner's prayer, and then that's it. And then you go to church, that's it. After pastor preaches, that's it. And even that one, your mind is distracted and you are moving up and down. No. When the Holy Spirit is alive in you and you come to church, you will sit at one place. You will not want distractions. Because you know why you have come. You know why you are here. You need to be filled up. You need to be strengthened. You need to be encouraged. You won't allow any distractions to take you away from the objective. That's why we say you come with an expectation. When you have the Holy, you have an expectation. You were saved. I'm saying once again, going over the one again. We're saved. Saved from what? Hallelujah. Crying out to God for salvation for what? And deliverance from what? Hallelujah. And so we had expectations. We wanted God to do and complete the surgery that He was doing in our lives. So when we are going to, when it is time for church, and we have been instructed that fellowship and church attendance is key, receiving instructions in the word and getting wisdom, understanding in the kind of world that we find ourselves, they were key. And so when you go to church, I believe it's by the virtue of the, even you waking up and driving or getting a car to church, you'll find out that there's a certain drive. You don't even, you can't explain. That helps you, moves you, and gravitates you towards the house of God. Like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you wake up, hey, today will there be church? Sunday, you're asking whether there will be church. When does church start? Up to now, you don't know when church starts. Born again? No. The Holy Spirit has come to stay inside of you. The promise about the born again experience, he said he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Fire! Fire! Stirring up. There's a burning desire. And you follow through. When you wake up, oh, you want to go to church. You wake up early. And something, up till now, when we are coming to church, we are driving at top next speed to get to church on time. Since we got born again, many, there's still that fire, there's still that drive. You are going to meet God. The Holy Spirit will wake you up. And when you wake up, like I said, you know. And sometimes the apostles, they will say, I'm a born slave of Jesus. When you wake your master, you wake up. Look, your creator, he's come to fix you. And when he wakes up, then you sleep again. The fear of the Lord. He comes and brings the fear of the Lord. Am I late? And you are running to church just because you'll be late. Hallelujah. Some of us, they walk the lackadaisical. When it is time, then now, sir, weather no cry, cold, pal. Once again, like we are saying, you know, you are not born again. You are not. You are not born again. You are not born again. You have not yielded full control. The Holy Spirit has come. And that's what how you are treating him. No, you don't understand where you are going. You don't want a fix. You don't want a fix. You are comfortable with the demons and all those things. Then why did you get born again? Your life was messed up. And you have come to the physician to fix you up. And you cooperate. You don't want a fix. Maybe you like the nightmares. Me, I don't like the nightmares. I never liked it. And sometimes God will let them, you know, frighten you. In your nightmares, you see repeatedly, whether it's an owl or, you know, in your dream. And it's coming night after night. And then you wake up this day and say, now I see a particular owl in my dream every night. And you surrendered your life. You don't want that owl to be dismissed from your dreams. And God can fix it. Or a certain vice. A certain habit that you are struggling with. And you have come. That's why I'm saying we must understand this whole thing. No, we are not coming to church. We are coming to a savior, a redeemer, a deliverer. That is where we have come to. And he says, get up. Church. Is the theater where I do my operations by the living word. Say, the words I speak, they are spirit, they are life. As I say, as you appear in the presence of God, and these things are being, something is being injected into you, and the demons and the stranglehold of the devil is being broken. The power of sin is being broken over your life. So you don't joke with church. Hallelujah. So that we can fill in the gaps in your faith. 11. So Paul's prayer, night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. And may God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, bring us to you very soon. Verse 12, he continues his prayer. We are getting to 13. He says, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. If you read 13, say, may he, as a result. As a result of what? So you go back to 12, and then you can connect with the prayer that is prayed. Now, so let's flip back to 12. You say, may the Lord, because this is a very key ingredient of virtue of the Christian life. Jesus said that if you love, learn how to love God, and learn how to love men, you have fulfilled the entire scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. Love. And 1 Corinthians 13, Paul will give us a description of love in motion. Hallelujah. It doesn't keep wrongs. Hallelujah. Can we go there quickly? Because love is key. It is key to the surgery that God is doing on our lives. 1 Corinthians 13. So we are talking here about agape love. Divine love. Let's read it. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. This apostle Paul. So he was urging the Thessalonian church, the young infant church, to be able to major on the majors of the Christian faith. Love. Love. Love that binds together, that unites us. Because as you say, we all stand before God one of these days. And I want to see you there. And you want to see me there. How can we do that? Love. Verse 2. If I have a gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possess all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, that would be nothing. Are you reading this? Is it true? Sometimes we overlook it. Love is the chief ingredient. Love God, love man. That's it. You have fulfilled the entire law and the prophets, because they all hinge on this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 3. And if I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. The faith is not theoretical. You see, when we make it theory, that's why we're having all these problems and challenges. It's not supposed to be theoretical. That takes a lot of work to do. Therefore, we need focus. Focus. To grasp them, and then effort. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he goes on and says, love is patient and kind. And when we talk about some of these things, and sometimes we let off and say that it's impossible. Holiness is impossible. It is impossible to love everybody. No. This same Paul who is writing this, hallelujah. At the point he said, he ejected John Mark from his team. He said, you, I won't go with you. They are not reliable. Hallelujah. And Barnabas came and said, oh, Paul, don't be impatient with him. He will learn. Yes, he fled, but he's come back. Let's take him. He said, no. Paul said, no, no way. I can't tolerate such people. You know, he had a very fierce temperament. Amen. But later on, John Mark came back. He reconciled. As we are growing in the faith, so don't let some of these, you know, blips, you know, don't let it dissuade you or dissuade us from doing what we need to do and walk in holiness. A righteous man will fall 7 times, but he'll rise up again. You rise up again. You have the Holy Spirit, he'll raise you up and cleanse you and say, go out there. Let's do it again. We can do it. Say, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It's not boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wrong. You see, these are the things, that is why we have come. These are the natures, the born-again person. These are the attitudes and natures you don't like, you dislike about yourself. And that is why we get born again. So God can fix us. Hallelujah. And so you recognize some of these tendencies in you. You try and get it fixed. Proud or rude. There are some believers. I say, are you born again? And no, you don't win yourself from rudeness, from boastfulness, from pride. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. Offenses abound in this world and they will come. 6. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. The love never gives up, never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages. And that's where we have fixated our specialty on as a church. As a church now. I'm not talking there's church universal, special. I don't know. But is it the African churches? I don't know. Somebody, hallelujah. We like prophecy. We like prophecy. We love, what do you want to see? All that will happen, the most significant thing that will happen is the appearing of Jesus Christ. And you and I standing before him. You and I standing before him. And make sure that your garments are not soiled or stained. Because you'll be rejected. That's why you must walk in holiness. Amen. To the extent that the church, I mean, in our mass media, communication, radio, and I mean, it's like, are they reading their Bibles? Is there any fear of the Lord? And so why didn't God lead us, you know, to also be there and doing those things? Fighting and insulting and all that and envy, drunkenness, and all those things that the Bible says that, look, you have been redeemed from such things. Live righteous and holy lives, befitting of your calling as God's prized possession. So prophecy and speaking in unknown language. You are born again because you speak in tongues? No. No. Born again is not equivalent to tongues speaking. It's an entity on its own. The foundation, the big foundation upon which every other thing will happen. The coming of the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of speaking in tongues. But you are not born again. There is no Holy Spirit in your life. So how can your tongues be from a Holy Spirit? It can be learned. They're fetishes. They do it. Go there. Visit the shrines. They do that. They speak in tongues. Unknown language. That's gibberish. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. Amen. So let's go back to first test. We are in verse. We're looking at 12 and 13. 12. Yes. So, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. And I was saying that love is so key to the life of holiness that God has called us to live. And then verse 13, he says, may he, as a result of practicing love, that's what he said, as a result of that. So love is going to make your hearts strong. Now we've read 1 Corinthians, we know what love does not do. In a way, love cannot and should not be criticized. Paul will tell the Galatian church in Galatians 5:22 about the fruit of the Spirit. And he says what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, meekness. Amen. Faithfulness, gentleness, except against such, there is no law. There is no law against love. Hallelujah. You can't have any fault to say about it. And so he's encouraging us to do that. And remember, it was prescribed, the fruit of the Holy Spirit was prescribed against, to antagonize and resist the influence of the carnal nature that he describes in Galatians 5:19. He said, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Means that that's not an exhaustive list. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And remember what Peter said as we read through 1 Peter chapter 1. He said that God, who is going to judge, he has no favorites. He has no favorites. When it comes to holiness, the injunction is placed upon all. All. That's what Paul said. If you can say I'm a prophet, I can prophesy and all that. And then you are living filthy lives. Hey, and then you come and stand before him. No, that's what I'm saying. You never understood it. You said you are born again, but you never understood it. So you are not born again. That alone. That's why we are saying that this season, we are pressing the reset button. I believe that God just wants us to talk about these things again. Because he wants to save us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to purify. He wants to open our minds and understanding about what he has done and where he's taking us. So we don't miss it. You can't live your Christian life when you are looking on what is happening. Focus on the word. For some of us, that's what we heard. And it's good advice. Focus on the word. Focus on the word. And do what the word says. It's the final habitat. Not men. The word of God is final habitat. Not church culture. In my church, they do this. This church does it. No. What does the word of God say? We have substituted a lot of the word with the traditions of the elders of our churches. And conventions. And constitutions. Oh, this other church, the majority of the churches are doing this. Hey, they ask you, are they doing what the word of God says? Then we go for it. But if they are not, that's why Jesus said that many are called, but few will be chosen. So can we go back? May he as a result make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. That he will make our hearts strong, may he as a result of the practicing of love. Love, more or less, he's saying that love has a way of making our hearts strong. Will make our hearts strong, blameless, and holy. As you stand before God, our Father, when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Now let's look at 4:1-8. Quickly, just read there, because now he's going to dilate a little bit about the whole. He says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. Then you are practicing holiness. As we have taught you, you live this way already, and we encourage you to do even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will is for you to be holy. You know, this was one of the Greek, colonies, or Greek cities. So, last. The goddess of love, lust, the sexual revolution, and we think that it started here. It was over there in old Greek. It was all sex. And that is the situation in which the church has been birthed. It is no different from what is happening nowadays. Hallelujah. Because Satan knows that this one, when he gets you, that's all. He has finished you. Because he will expunge you. You will expunge the Holy Spirit from you, and you'll never be able to live a holy life. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Verse 4. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion, like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. 6. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you. 4:7. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. 8. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Amen.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life.